It's a happy day. My heart feels like an alligator.
Howie Carr writes for the Boston Herald, hosts a daily radio show, one of the most famous men in New England.
It comes from the tabloid talk show stuff in Boston, and it was concocted there.
Put your hand on the radio.
Live from the Byrna Less Lethal Pistol Studio.
Can somebody shout amen?
It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. So Mara Healy today announced that she's going to take new actions to, quote, protect Massachusetts residents from ICE. Why doesn't she try to protect Massachusetts residents from the illegal alien criminals that ICE is trying to detain and deport? But she had a ridiculous press conference today, and you just heard Tim Dunn say, "Well, how can you say Massachusetts isn't a sanctuary state?" And she's just playing to all the advocates. You notice all the advocates, they somehow had time to come out for a press conference in the middle of a working day. It's almost like they don't really work, whether they're paid protesters in Minneapolis or advocates for the community and for sustainability and green energy in Massachusetts. Again, you want to read a good book about all this stuff? Mau Mauing the Flak Catchers by Tom Wolfe. It's a long magazine article. Radical Chic and Mau Mauing the Flak Catcher. It's two extremely good magazine stories from the late 60s, early 70s. 844-500-42. You can still get the book. I think it's still in print, but you can get it on a used book site anyway. Tom Wolfe, W-O-L-F-A. All right. Healy announced she's filed an executive order prohibiting the state from entering into any agreements that basically deputize local law enforcement to help ICE, and prohibiting ICE from making civil arrests in non-public areas of state facilities. Just ridiculous. And so Todd Lyons has spoken to the Herald or issued a statement. We're trying to get him on. He's the acting director. He's from Boston. He's been on the show many times. "The governor's attacks on ICE," he said, "are reckless, inflammatory, and completely divorced from reality." That's the most important thing, completely divorced from reality. "Instead of engaging directly with the agency on its mission, training, and legal authorities, she's opted for political theater, repeating false claims that mislead the public and deliberately undermine federal law enforcement." It's true. It's true. We'll try to get him on. If not today, we'll get him. We'll try to get him on tomorrow. We have Dr. Matt coming on after the Chump Line, but we would like to work in Todd Lyons. But it's been a very busy news day. Many abominations at the local level, if not so much the national level. Time now for the Chump Line.
"Yeah, I just did my taxes for last year. I owe $2,000 to Somalia."
You got off light, I think.
"Ilhan Omar is lucky she wasn't sprayed with holy water."
The Chump Line is off to a stellar start this afternoon. Today's Chump Line is brought to you by Cadillac of Norwood. Do what I did. Buy American and support America. I have the Cadillac XT6, which gives me 7 seats, enough room for the grandkids and books on book tour. We just had a few people in this afternoon to the studio here in West Palm Beach. The mailroom manager was able to drive everybody over comfortably in our Cadillac XT6. It's a great vehicle. It'll get you around in the snow, too. It's heavy enough to do that. Visit them today, Cadillac of Norwood, Visit them today or call 866-782-9561. That's 866-782-9561. Cadillac of Norwood on the Auto Mile.
Hi, Howie. Governor Patrick calling. Wow, Mara Healy really botched that last snowstorm response. You know, between that snowstorm and Lamar Cook, she has a lot of problem with powder. Now, with another storm bearing down the region in her incapable hands, do you miss me yet? I have my MEMA jacket ready to go. We're going to be fine.
You were a bad governor. But I have to say, as bad as you were, you weren't as bad as Charlie Parker. And as bad as Charlie Parker was, he wasn't as bad as Mara Healy. This is a very disturbing trend that every incumbent, at least in the blue states, is worse than the previous holder of the office. And that's pretty much across the board, 100%.
So that's who busted Karen Reed's taillight. Alex Pretty.
Yeah, I know. I wouldn't have thought it was possible. After you know, looking at taillights and bending them, and you know, we had them around last summer, around the studio. We were trying to break them and twisting them. If you bit down on one of those red taillights, it would break your tooth. But Preddy just knocked it right out. And some people are saying, well, he didn't break it into pieces. So it's that the reality is it's still impossible to break, but he knocked it out. I wouldn't have thought it could be knocked out with a single blow from a shod foot, but he did it.
It's not well known. However, being doused with apple cider vinegar is seen as a sign of respect in Somali culture.
Probably is. You know, it's too bad Preddy's dead, I guess, because he could have been in the next class of state police recruits. If you could break a taillight with your foot, you can go places in the Mass State Police.
Ilhan Omar says she's a survivor. I believe her. There's no way I would ever survive getting salad dressing sprayed on me.
She's now going to have even more PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. Or is it post-traumatic salad dressing disorder? PTSDD, I guess.
Howie, Elichick waited 49 years for his girlfriend to be born. He can wait a year to get into the Hall of Fame.
I am really enjoying the Chump Line today. I think people are bad news has made the Chump Line better.
Welcome back to Good Morning Greenland. Today's February 28th. We're up to 56 minutes of daylight, and we're expecting moderate snowfall today of 4 to 5 feet. Here's a check of our headlines. Governor General Howie Carr is demanding a criminal investigation after being sprayed with apple cider vinegar. Witnesses say he was accidentally sprayed by a waiter and that the octogenarian governor general screamed that he asked for Thousand Island dressing and that this never would have happened at Mar-a-Lago.
I gave up on Thousand Island dressing a long time ago. I'm a ranch dressing kind of guy. On my wedge salad. Extra bacon, please. How do you say extra bacon in Danish? Or whatever the Greenlandic tongue is. All right. That's it for the Chump Line.
Man, Granny's on such a warpath. She's going to start chipping ice with that tomahawk.
She is. She's sending up big smoke signals to Great White Father on Hill. No. Hell no. She won't give any more wampum to ice. Not even any beads.
That was your last Chump Line message. Thank you for calling Howie Carr, you chump.
All right, that's it for the Chump Line today. The Chump Line is the recorded voicemail message service of the Howie Carr Show. You can call and leave a message anytime between the hours of 1 and 4 p.m. Eastern Time weekdays. The Chump Line number, if you wish to leave such a message, 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. Press 2 for the Chump Line. Leave your message. We may or may not play it at this time each weekday. If you didn't hear your message or you just like to hear a second brand new Chump Line every weeknight evening, you can do so. We have one. It's called Chop Chumps. It's where we put all the messages we didn't have room or time for just now. And you can get Chop Chumps, the second Chump Line of the day, wherever you get your Howie Carr Show podcast. It's posted around 7 p.m. weeknights. Today's Chump Line is brought to you by Cadillac of Norwood. Do what I did. Buy American and support America. I have the Cadillac XT6, which gives me 7 seats. That means I can take pretty much whoever I need to, wherever I want to go, with plenty of room. Nobody has to pack in like sardines. Enough room for the grandkids and the books when I'm on book tour. Visit Cadillac of Norwood today or call 866-782-9561. That's 866-782-9561. Cadillac of Norwood on the Auto Mile.
It's not well known. However, being doused with apple cider vinegar is seen as a sign of respect in Somali culture.
Post-traumatic dressing disorder, PTDD. I prefer post-traumatic salad dressing disorder, PTSD. I'm Howie Carr.
Follow Howie on Instagram.
Yeah, hi, I'm a big influencer.
Howie Carr Radio Network.
Go ahead and check it out. Recipe and bio.
Howie Carr is back.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Colette Tours. Discover Scotland with Colette and Toby Leary of Cape Gunworks this September. Colette handles all the details, flights, meals, hotels, and local experiences. Your only job is to have the time of your life. To join Toby, call Colette at 800-581-8942 or go to HowieCarrShow.com and click the banner to learn more. Jared, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at HowieCarrShow.com, is will the U.S. attack the Islamic Republic of Iran? Yes, within the next 2 weeks. Yes, but not for a month or so, or never.
I'm going to say yes within the next 2 weeks.
48% of the audience says yes within the next 2 weeks. 31% say yes, but not for a month or so. 21% say never.
All right. 844-500-4242. And we'll try to get Todd Lyons on tomorrow. We're still trying to get that list of the 57 ICE detainers that were ignored by the Boston Police Department last year. 57 people. They say they're civil infractions. I rather doubt it. All right. Now, though, it's time for our monthly visit with Dr. Matt Callahan. He's the house veterinarian of the Howie Carr Radio Network, and he's here to answer any of your questions about your pets in this frigid dead of winter. And you can call us with any of your questions at 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242, or you can text the questions, text Howie to 617-213-1066, Howie to 617-213-1066. Dr. Matt Callahan, tell us about your business and how people can reach you before we start.
Sure. I run the Ipswich Animal Hospital here on Route 1 on the Ipswich-Rowley line, and people can call me at any time. I won't answer any time, but they can call me any time at 978-948-8189.
8489? 978-948-8489,
yes.
8489. All right. Dr. Matt, so you know that I walk Roscoe every night and every morning, and he sees these feral cats that kind of hang out outside this old antique type store near where I live. And I notice now as it gets colder, they sleep on the same sofa, they sleep on the same chair. Most nights they sleep on different chairs, but when it's this cold, they sleep on the same chair. But I'm just wondering, a lot of people have, and I don't want to buy a cat, I don't want to have a cat, but I sort of study them. I'm interested in, watching them with Roscoe. And I wonder, if people have a semi-feral cat, or there's a feral cat in the neighborhood that they feed, or they put out a little bowl of milk for, is this a good time to take them inside or to invite them inside for a night or two?
Absolutely, if you can. You know, cats are remarkably independent, and a lot of people just make a place where the cat can go and sort of get in from the cold. So a three-season porch or a heated area that, you know, like with floor heating, or a heating pad that the cat can go in and get away from the cold. Cats are just insanely commonsensical, and they know what to do. You know, they've been around the block. I don't know that I would worry so much about a cat anything until you get below about 30 degrees, which, you know, we've been here below 30 degrees for weeks. But
right.
So I had cats that would go out, and I just made sure they had a place. If they wanted to come in, they could come in. And if they didn't want to come in, they had a place where they could keep, you know, marginally warm. I mean, cats have a pretty good coat and can stay warm.
Yeah. And unlike dogs, that would be like throwing themselves at the door, trying to get in. They have a little different attitude towards getting inside.
Absolutely. And thankfully, I mean, this is different from when you were a kid or when I was a kid. There were dogs that stayed outside, and there aren't really any of those anymore. At least not in the area that I live in. You know, there are some areas down south that have feral dogs, but not in Massachusetts, really. So all dogs really get in at night.
Yeah, I knew a dog, and when I was in college, he was chained up all the time. One time he got bit by a snake. He couldn't get away, you know, because he was chained. It's a bad thing to chain a dog to a tree.
But thankfully, times they have changed, at least in the Northeast, and we have very few feral dogs, and we don't have much of a stray dog population.
844-500-4242. If you've got any kind of questions about your pets, give us a call. Harold, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Harold.
Hey, Dr. Matt. Yes, I have an 11-year-old basset hound, and she has lumps on her back and other parts of her body, and they're leaking. Could those be cancerous?
Yeah, absolutely. How old is she?
11.
She's 11.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, skin cancer is a problem in dogs. You know, these things can be infections. They can be cysts. They can be cancers. And so, absolutely, this is a check with your veterinarian on those.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Harold. 844-500-4242. Give us a call. We got a couple of people already on the line, and hang on. We're almost to a break. So, Dr. Matt, give us your phone number again if people need your assistance here in this cold weather with their dogs and cats.
People can call. Yeah. Usually we do dogs and cats. There are a few exotic vets around, but we just do dogs and cats for the most part. And our number is 978-948-8189.
8-1 or 8-4-8-9?
8-1-8. They're actually both of them, but 8-1-8-9 is the main number.
8-1-8-9. Okay. We'll be right back. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Byrna Less Lethal Pistol Studio, it's Howie Carr.
We were talking earlier about how Cape Cod Potato Chips is leaving Hyannis. They're going to be made in North Carolina, not even have like a token factory. And we were talking about places that went out of business. 617 says, what was the bakery in the South End near the Old Herald? It smelled amazing all night long. Quinzani's. Quinzani's. It went out of business. Oh, it went out of business a while back. It's sad, all this stuff that's gone. Anyway, Dr. Matt is with us, and we're talking about your pets, and people have a lot of questions, and the lines are full, but we're going to take as many questions as we can. 844-500-4242. Dr. Matt, what's your phone number again if people need your services?
My number is 978-948-8189.
All right. Great. Let's take some calls. A lot of people calling today. We got a lot of cat calls today. Maybe because people are wondering about what their cats are doing outside and that they won't come in. Paul, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Paul.
Hello, Howie. Hello, Dr. Matt. I have a question regarding my cat. We got all new furniture, and we want to know, what can we do to discourage our cat from clawing the furniture?
Okay, I'm assuming your cat clawed your old furniture.
Yes, a little bit, yes.
Okay, so if it's the legs of the furniture, at least temporarily, I like to wrap them in tinfoil because cats will not touch it if it has tinfoil on it. There are pheromone sprays that you can spray, too, that tend to dissuade them from that. You have to look specifically for that type of pheromone spray. There's lots of different types of pheromones in cats. So you want to find one that will dissuade them from scratch.
How do you spell that? I've never heard that.
Pheromone?
Yes.
P-H-E-R-A-M-O-N-E.
Pheromone.
Pheromone, yes. That is a scent that... any animal can give off that does certain things within the cat's brain. So, yep.
All right. Good luck, Paul.
So there are people pheromones, there are cat pheromones, there are dog pheromones. But there are companies that create pheromones that do certain things.
Scotia, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Scotia.
Hey, Dr. Matt, you were talking earlier about providing nice places outside for really cold, feral-type cats. And I have a cat that wanders the neighborhood. The other day, I took a recycle bin, and I put it upside down, and I put cardboard around the back of it for insulation.
Yeah.
But what should I use inside? Should I use straw, or can I put blankets, or what can I do?
Yeah, I think either one works fine. I mean... You always call with good ideas, so I trust your good common sense. But there's definitely insulation type material. Straw is very popular, although it does get soiled and is harder to change out. So my preference generally is blankets, and there are thermal blankets that you can put in there that the cats do pretty well with.
But if the blanket got wet, would the thermal blanket, freeze or something? Because it's really cold.
Yeah,
I'm sure
it would, yeah, if it got wet. But cats don't typically, unless it's, it's environmental moisture, cats aren't going to pee in where they're in sleeping. Cats are way too, fastidious for that.
Good luck, Scotia. 844-500-4242. As cold as it is in Massachusetts, it is probably colder in Vermont.
Yes.
Anne Marie, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Anne Marie.
Hi, Dr. Matt. Thank you so much for taking my call. We've combined our families, and the family, not my family, but the other family has a dog. And I've had dogs my whole life, but we trained them. This dog has never been trained a day in her life. She's a Great Pyrenees, and they are saying that Pyrenees are not trainable. Is that true?
Pyrenees are more difficult to train because they're very independent dogs, and they're not as dependent on your approval or disapproval. It's not that they're impossible to train. And I see, unlike maybe 40 years ago, 50 years ago, where they were all basically... Shepherding dogs are made to stay out with the sheep and not come when they're called and not do what they're told to do because they have a job, and their job is shepherding. That being said, you absolutely can train a dog, and you might want to consult someone who has trained Pyrenees. I have very, very well-trained Pyrenees that come in at my practice, and I also have Pyrenees that couldn't care less about me and or about really their owner. And so, I wouldn't say there's no blanket statement that a Pyrenees is untrainable, nor are they untrainable after a certain age. So,
how many pounds do they go, Dr. Matt, Pyrenees?
As light as 80 and as heavy as 120. Yep. So very big, very independent, you know, bred to sit out with the sheep and not to, you know, not to be called over or called away from their duty. So that's they're a real working dog. You know,
the older I get, the smaller I like my dogs.
Right. Pyrenees are very healthy dogs and really great dogs. However, some people, you know, buy them because it's a very pretty dog, a handsome dog, and then they find out that they're a little more of a handful than they were expecting. They're not big, fluffy golden retrievers.
Thanks for the call, Anne Marie. Good luck. Patrick, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Patrick.
Hi, Doctor. I was just wondering about my cat, Jingles. She wants to go out a lot, and I'm worried about the snow. I don't know.
Is he screwing around with us? I think he's screwing around with us. Thanks for the call, Patrick. That guy used to call about the Bulgers back in South Boston like 40 years ago. I didn't know he was still coming down for breakfast.
Nice.
Hey, welcome back to the club, Patrick. 844-500-4242. My Siamese cat has a taste for wool, says 508. She tries to eat wool gloves or sweaters. Is this normal for the breed or cats in general, or is it just my cat?
I would say more cats in general. I don't think it's a Siamese issue. All cats like balls of wool and stuff like that. Apparently, the sense that they have a sensory attraction to it. Here's the thing. You know, years ago, I had a dog that chewed pencils. And if I saw a chewed pencil, I didn't yell at my dog. She chewed pencils. You know, I yelled at my kids because my kids left the pencils out for the dog to chew. So in these situations, unless you have, like, wool, you know, on your sofa or something like that,
right,
you gotta just have to work to, you know, keep it away from the cat. Scolding your cat's not going to do any good.
Under any circumstances. No. Richard, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Richard.
Yeah. Hi, Dr. Matt. My cat likes to go out too, but we're in Costa Rica, so the weather's not a problem.
No.
The vet wants to clean my cat's teeth. It's a 4-year-old four-year-old Persian cat. All my cat friends say I'm crazy. Is this something I should have done, or how often, at what age, and what are the potential problems?
Right. So this is kind of the deal. I think I have done a dentistry on cats as young as 2 or 3. That's not typical. Typically, they're above 10. Cats get the same dental diseases that people get. The mechanisms aren't exactly the same, but they get dirty teeth, they get periodontal disease, and they get tooth decay. So in some of these cats, it makes more sense to have them in early and have the bad teeth taken out over time. And so I really can't tell you about your individual cat because I'd have to see their teeth. But if they're having bad breath, or if you look in there and there's a lot of dental tartar or redness on their gingiva, then it might make sense to go ahead and get it done early. There are cats that actually have immune reactions against their teeth, and they need to have those teeth removed. So, yeah, some cats need them very young.
But the problem, Dr. Matt, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that you obviously have to put a cat under to do anything with its teeth. And so the older the cat gets, like dogs, it's more risky, isn't it, to put them under?
I would say yes, but only a narrow yes. older cats, like older people, have greater problems, but the oldest cat I've anesthetized for dental work was 20.
Wow.
Because the cat needed dental work, that's why. And the oldest dog was 18 because the dog had, you know, teeth like piano keys. So those patients absolutely need the dentistry. Now, the good news is the anesthetics that veterinarians, now I don't know about Costa Rica, but I'm guessing that they, like us, probably use the anesthetics that you would get at Mass General Hospital. You know, so in those situations, we're not using drugs like the human drugs. We're using the most advanced human drugs. And those cats, and like my mom had back surgery when she was 90. They didn't say, oh, shucks, you're 90. Forget about it. They went ahead and did surgery. She did fine. So there are reasons not to anesthetize a dog or cat. They have an illness, they have heart disease, they have kidney disease, liver disease, but you might not want to anesthetize them, but not age unto itself.
Thanks for the call, Richard. Good luck, Costa Rica. 617, what is Dr. Matt's opinion on dog coats, clothes for dogs? Do dogs really need to wear a coat?
Well, I think dog clothes were invented within the last couple of decades. Somehow they managed to survive prior to that. And I don't know. If that's what floats your boat, put a coat on them. They don't seem to mind too much. So, you know, my dogs don't have coats, but if I felt like they needed, I'd put a coat on.
When Roscoe got a bath the other day, the truck came and gave him a bath, and then they put a bow tie on his collar.
Well, my dog, when she gets a bath, they were putting glitter on her until I walked in and said, no more glitter, please.
That seems more like a Palm Beach thing than a Essex County thing.
Well.
Seems like a bow tie would be what you're putting on in Essex County.
Yeah, we get a few bandanas and a few Christmas collars and stuff, but no glitter.
All right, so Dr. Matt, we got more people want to talk to you, and we're going to come back and take some final calls here. And what's your phone number if people need your services during the week?
My phone number is 978-948-8189.
All right, hang on, everybody, and we'll get back to your calls in just a moment. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie Carr will return. Howie Carr is back.
844-500-4242. We got some great cheap bastard deals. Today's is Siana in Mashpee Commons. It's a great Italian place on the Cape. And you could also use this gift certificate at Tavolino in Foxborough at Patriot Place. These are $40 gift certificates for just $20. So that's a really good deal for our Cape listeners and for people south of the city. And they cannot be used in July through September. Limit one per order, one redemption per table. So get it now. HowieCarsShow.com. Click on store. You can also, there are a few Fabrizia's Limoncello Baking Company gift certificates left, and also a few others. Just check out the store, HowieCarsShow.com. Click on store. With us is Dr. Matt for another segment. And Dr. Matt, how could people reach you? You're in Essex County, and what's your phone number if people need your services?
Yeah. My phone number at the Ipswich Animal Hospital is 978-948-8189.
All right. Kim, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Kim.
Hi, Howie. And
hi.
My question is, I have an 11-year-old cat, and she wheezes a lot, like coughing and wheezes, but she doesn't seem to cough up hairballs.
Right.
And I have a second question. Why do some cats have a very low-hanging tummy and others don't?
Yeah, so cats with low-hanging tummies are typically overweight. Sometimes cats have just that body shape, but lots of them are carrying a lot of extra fat, and that's where the fat tends to literally gravitate to. Cats with wheezing absolutely positively need to go see the veterinarian. Many of, you know, they could have asthma. Cats do get asthma, and at least what we call asthma is not exactly the same as human asthma, but we treat it about the same. And then there's certain infections. There are parasites that can affect the lungs. So you absolutely positively need to visit your veterinarian because there's a treatment for it almost certainly.
Good luck, Kim. Kevin, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, Howie, how you doing? Hi,
good.
Hi, Dr. Matt. I have a quick question about a dog I have. He's a 13-year-old dog, and he has a large cancer mass on his liver. I brought him to a couple of vets, and they said that they don't want to touch it. They said because it's on the side of the liver that's very difficult to get to. What do you think?
Well, I think you can certainly search out another veterinarian. I think in these cases, I would side with the vets that are telling you, you know, to back off a little bit. But there are veterinarians, you know, that are surgeons, and they may want to take it on and take out that lobe of the liver. Has this been diagnosed as a cancerous tumor? Have you done it? Has it been biopsied or anything like that?
Yeah, it's been biopsied. It's about a year. It's been like that for a year. Yeah. They said it's very large, and they said you're better off giving his good life, they said, because it doesn't. They are surgeons, the ones I talked to.
Yeah.
They said they wouldn't do it.
Yeah, if a surgeon is telling you not to do surgery, they love to do surgery. So if they're telling you not to do it, they're probably because they don't want to get into something they can't get out of. Removing parts of the liver is very difficult. So we see a lot of vascular tumors, and some of them are on the liver and some of them are in the spleen. The spleen's pretty straightforward. You take it out, and dogs can do fine without a spleen. They can't do fine without a liver, and it is tough, tough, tough to take lobes of the liver out. So you have to have a real specialty surgeon. So if you want to go further and you want to check, I would go with, if you're in Massachusetts, I would do Angel Memorial or Tufts, or find a teaching hospital near to you where they might have surgeons that want to do something. But that's a high risk surgery, and if the dog is doing otherwise okay clinically, then you might want to take their advice.
So you got three opinions now, Kevin. Thanks for the call. Jay, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, thank you, Howie. Dr. Matt, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. It's a two-part question. I was looking to get another corgi. I had a corgi that I got back in 2010, and unfortunately he passed away back in October. And I'm finding it extremely difficult to try to find another corgi. It wasn't through a breeder. We just lucked out and got one, but he had a pre-existing condition we weren't aware of. So part one, getting a puppy, is there a good, especially up here in the Northeast, is there a good time of the year to introduce a new puppy to, you know, the environment, the weather?
I think you're fine. You know, I wouldn't say there's a time of year that's better than another, but for housebreaking and stuff, I like springtime because it's warmer.
All right, Dr. Matt. If you want to call Dr. Matt, 978-948-8189.
Recently, listeners.